Welcome to Couch Sessions by YWAM Heidebee. On this podcast, we sit down with YWAMers to have interesting and challenging conversations on their journey with Holy Spirit and how they live their day-to-day lives with God. So come, join us. This episode is hosted by Marita Winkler.
Welcome to today's episode. I'm here with Johannes. Welcome, Johannes.
Thank you.
Johannes is over 20 years already in YWAM, and he is part of our Biblical Studies Center for nearly 18 years. He has a great passion for the Bible and is a great teacher of the Bible and also a man of wisdom. And we're very happy to have you today here, Johannes, to talk about the Bible and your passion for the Bible. I thought a first nice question could be to ask you if you still remember the first Bible story you've ever read in the Bible yourself.
Oh, wow. Then I need to go back way before my YWAM time. I remember really loving the Bible from a very young age, so much so that my mom sometimes said, you should become a pastor. Hmm. So I loved the stories, would often repeat them to my brother and sisters or in school. But the first one, I don't know.
Well, that's okay. I was just curious.
Yeah.
So I hear you saying that the Bible was just part of you growing up and part of your family. So is it something you've always been familiar with?
Yeah, to some degree. I think at the young age, especially, of course, the stories, not so much coherence, common themes and how everything connects together. But I'm really thankful growing up in a family where the Bible was read at the dinner table, but also just seeing my mom and dad really love the Word and taking time with the Word personally. Mm. I think that has really made a great impression.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's beautiful. So you were very familiar with the stories. They were part of your family life, and then you were growing up. And when you look at your relationship with the Bible, how did it grow? Like, when did you start realizing maybe, oh, I actually read my Bible maybe more than others, or others struggle, or comes easy for me, or did it maybe not come that easy for you? Was it always normal to read the Bible? How was that for you then getting older with the Bible?
It's a really good question. I think family time with the Bible was really key. Personally, I would read it, but I don't remember reading it a whole lot. I would also be really fond of just hearing sermons, teachings. Growing up, we would often come together with a bunch of teenagers to pray, to intercede. And I think what has been really key, I think a moment that really sharpened or focused my relationship with the Bible, my way of dealing with the scriptures and love for the Bible, was actually during my DTS, my discipleship training school, where we had two guys who would every week help us to study a small portion of scripture. That was really important, I think. But I do remember coming at Heidebeek, doing my interview before the DTS, and then you get the tour of the base and what happens here. And the school leader was telling about the School of Biblical Studies. And I remember just being like, I got to do that after my DTS. 9 months, which is what the SBS is. 9 months, pretty much alone with scripture, that must be wonderful. That's got to be my next thing.
What did you imagine being wonderful about that?
Just really getting into the Word myself, becoming much more familiar with it, really from Genesis to Revelation, getting to know the world of the Bible, and then from sort of that background, that world behind the Bible, also knowing much better the world in front of the Bible, how we apply it, how we live it today.
So what would you say changed your faith the most through giving time to extensively study the Bible?
Again, really good question. I think I just realized how important it is to really know God as He reveals Himself. And just from perspectives, from angles, in ways that you would normally not either hear around you or in church or in your family. Just it sounds maybe a little bit sort of negative almost, but just being faced, confronted almost with the God of the Bible in just every way that he presents himself, that he shows himself, reveals himself in so many different situations, stories in scripture.
Is there one particular which comes to mind you could share where you felt confronted by, but maybe eventually also got really revelation out of it?
Yeah, I think with confronting, I mean, not so much like confronting in the normal sense of being confronted with. From my School of Biblical Studies, I particularly remember a book like Job, where Job, we know, goes through all this suffering. His life seems to, you know, be perfect. He is a godly, a righteous man, way beyond what you would expect. And then all these calamities sort of come upon him, and he wrestles, he asks God, you know, why, where can I turn to? It seems like you're the one sort of coming against me, but you're also my judge. Where can I go to, even with my struggles, with my questions? And then God reveals himself in a storm and in these words where he asks, where were you at the beginning of everything? Or, you know, he really shows himself as creator, sustainer of the universe. And when the teacher also showed how that plays out in the book of Job, I remember thinking, like, he isn't really answering Job's questions. And yet Job, sort of goes on his knees, not literally, but he goes on his knees, acknowledges that he just doesn't know, that there are mysteries too great for him. And I thought, like, wow, that's how I want to get to know God. In studying the scriptures, studying theology, you want to know, but you have to arrive at that point where you know that you're studying things, especially getting to know God, who is way beyond ultimately your comprehension. And then you can come to a place of trust where your trust is not always anymore in, okay, oh well, I know that this is going to happen, this is what God is going to do, but trust becomes, I know who God is, despite what he does or might not do. And then you get to that real, I think, the ultimate form of trust in some ways.
Wow, thank you. It was a beautiful summary or teaching, a short teaching about the book of Job.
Sorry, I didn't mean to teach.
No, I think it was wonderful and I think very accurate. I think a lot of us probably had their wrestles with that book. So you already said just now a little bit, I study the Bible to know God. Is there also the danger that we can end up just studying the Bible for our studying sake, and what happens then?
Yeah, I think there is that danger. So you got to sort of keep on track in terms of what was my motivation, what was the passion, the love for God which I started to study his word. And then, of course, along the way, you can get, in a way, sidetracked or distracted by all sorts of questions around scripture. I think in, for example, the School of Biblical Studies or other Bible schools that we run, we really stick to the scriptures mostly. So maybe there's less of that direct kind of danger. Of course, if you would do other kinds of studies, there is definitely sometimes a danger of getting bogged down with questions sort of around the origins of the Bible, the historicity, the reliability of scripture, which I think are excellent questions to wrestle with. They're good questions. They're helpful questions, but I don't think too dangerous in and of themselves, as long as you also keep on studying in a faith community. Mm-hmm. And again, keep your focus on the God of scripture and not always on all the technicalities around scripture.
Yeah,
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes, to me it does. Okay. So Also, because you said you're almost for 18 years in biblical studies now, and also studying the word, teaching the word is a huge portion of what you do, not only what you do. And I can also imagine that there may be seasons you do it because that's why you came to YWAM. You have a passion, but how do you keep a passion alive? What do you do in seasons where it's maybe dry? Maybe you never had a dry season, but I for sure had dry seasons where it's hard to do it with passion and not just out of duty. So how was that for you? What has helped you?
I just noticed that in this whole realm of studying the Bible, teaching it, there are definitely moments where you can get discouraged. It's not always the most popular thing or even what people would come to YWAM for example. And that's the context in which I'm operating. Also, nowadays, there's sometimes a loss of trust in the scriptures. You would even hear people say, oh, can we not almost just do away with it or do away with, for example, the Old Testament? Yes, those questions pop up even within YWAM. So I recognize that in this kind of ministry, you're facing challenges. Also, personally, indeed, do I always want to keep on studying? Do I always read scripture every day or lots every day? No, but God always faithfully just keeps on giving that passion. It's sometimes by reading a little bit of scripture and I just get so excited again about one little discovery. You're like, this is what I'm doing it for. I hope I can pass this on to others. Or reading a blog post or a book about scripture, and often at the right time when I really need it. And it's just such a sort of puts logs on the fire again, and it easily starts burning again. And I often just go back to, okay, why did I start doing this? And, you know, if God gave us his word, if this is his revelation, his core revelation of who he is, he works in many ways, he speaks in many different ways, but also the church of the ages has always returned to scripture as the normative source of our knowledge of who he is, the living source of knowledge of who he is. If this is the word that he gives for the sake of his people and the world, then yes, there I go again, you know. It immediately gives me a boost to go study, go share, go teach, go preach. So always, yeah. I've never had long, dry seasons in this regard. But I think that's really, I see that really as God's faithfulness to keep me going in this ministry.
So do you have also some tips for people who maybe listen and say, yes, he's so right, I know I should engage because it does help, it opens my way of seeing God, but I find it somehow hard. You mentioned the Old Testament. It can be a challenge for people. Do you have any tips what can help to engage with the Bible and to really get insight?
I immediately think of the words of a famous former Anglican bishop and theologian, Tom Wright, who was asked a similar question. He simply answered, read the scriptures frequently and thoroughly. Does that help? I don't know. That's not very practical. But I think first of all, and I was just reminded of this a couple of weeks ago by a blog post, I think we should get our expectations right when it comes to reading scripture. And there are sort of the positive side to that, like, hey, this is God's word. So, you know, in a way, even who am I to just neglect it? This is what he has in his wisdom given us. Who am I to say I'd rather have another sort of kind of Bible or word from God? But on the other side, we shouldn't expect it to be easy. If this is the word that is to equip us to be God's people in God's world, then why should we even think it should always be easy or fun or we get instant sort of gratification from reading scripture? That's I don't even within scripture see that as a expectation raised. So we're dealing, I think, sometimes with a cultural expectation of, okay, I sort of push the button and there, you know, the microwave goes, or the vending machine gives me that drink or snack. That's simply not how most of life works. That's not the expectation of people throughout history, nor I think of the people within the scriptures. And I think it's one way to approach that. I think it's also God just really inviting us to dive in wholeheartedly, to dive in deeply, to keep going at it. I've always noticed that, you know, there's many times scripture doesn't immediately speak to me, but then suddenly, sometimes hours later or days or even months later, a situation arises and I'm like, ah, I can use, you know, some of the wisdom drawn from that scripture, that passage. I can use it now. And it's kind of like you're filling up a store. I don't know how to put it, but a storage room full of knowledge and wisdom that you don't always need to use right away. But when you need to use it, God will remind you of his word. And he will bring out the wisdom that has slowly been growing and maturing also by reading the scriptures thoroughly and frequently, as Tom Wright put it.
Thanks. So you've done a school of biblical studies yourself. You've also been involved at Heidelberg in running schools and staffing schools. You were involved as well this year with our Bible for Life school, which is a 3-month course starting in April. Then there you are really engaged with the students. You're studying the word. You're doing all those things you've just described. What is the fruit you see coming from those school in people's life, really going on this journey of diving in and spending time wrestling through what you, yeah, everything you just described, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think one particular thing always strikes me is that students will say, okay, I kind of had heard about this or that, but now I really see it myself. I even had, I would say, a very mature believer say, I've always heard, oh, in scripture, relationship is just really key, is really important. And in the Old Testament, we often find that in language like covenant, which is a relational term. But now I'm reading the scriptures myself. We were studying the law, the Torah, the five books of Moses. And she said, now I'm seeing it, really. I just see it with my very own eyes. So there's this, eyes are open. There's this discovery that they make themselves. And they're like, wow, now I get it. I think also people are just so excited about seeing the whole story of the Bible, how everything fits together, including, for example, how important the Old Testament is to even start to understand the New Testament. There's no way you can get all the riches out of the story of Jesus and the apostles, the early church, if you don't know the Old Testament story. So there's that. And I also immediately remember a student who said, I've learned to really respect people who sometimes have another opinion. Just know how to deal with that better. And this was from someone I've known quite a long time, a very mature believer, leader within Youth with a Mission, and someone whom I know as being very respectful towards others. Her saying that, I thought, like, wow, that's what the study of scripture does. We don't even teach that in a very direct kind of way, but it's the kind of attitude that grows as we study the Bible together in our small community, within the Heidelberg community. You realize not everything is always immediately easy to understand, or not every matter is very black and white. And you start to understand, why do people from different faith traditions sometimes think different, sometimes very different, sometimes slightly different. But slight differences sometimes have a huge effect on how we live our daily life with Christ. But you start to understand that way better. I thought if that attitude of respect and openness grows, wow, then I'm happy. Yeah.
Great. That's good to hear. So we talked about the fruit of the school, but now I thought maybe it's also nice to say a few sentences. How does this school work? how do you help the students to get to this food? Are there different elements? And yeah, how does it look like?
Yeah, very happy to share about that. Well, I think the first thing we do is really get a sense of the whole story of the Bible. See how the parts fit together, how God is the same God from Genesis to Revelation. Nothing changes in him. If that were so, then he wouldn't be God, perhaps. We have to conceive of God as the unchanging rock of all ages. He is very much the same in the Old Testament, in the New, the God who appears on Sinai and the one who shows his face in Jesus. Also, we then look at how does the Bible fit together historically, chronologically. And that just opens eyes to, okay, where do the voices of the prophets, for example, fit in the narratives of the kings? How do the letters fit in the stories of the book of Acts? Acts tells us sort of a very quick overview story of the early church. And then the letters give us a bit of an insider's look. What is happening? What were the questions, the struggles, the issues in the early church? And how does Paul answer those with the word of God? So, overview. First thing, context. If you cannot see the whole puzzle, it's hard to understand what the puzzle pieces are. That kind of idea. And then we really spend a lot of time equipping, training students. So it's a course, it's a school, but it's very much a training as well to study the Bible in a reliable, practical way themselves, which we call inductive Bible study. And it just uses three core skills. I'm purposefully saying skills. They're not just steps you take one by one and that there it is, you're done. But those are skills you develop, you grow, called observation. What is there in the text? Observation is very interesting on texts that are unfamiliar. You've never read them, and now you need to dig in, see what's there, like a discoverer. The observation is sometimes even more important on texts that we know so well or think we know so well. And if you really start to dig in and read carefully, yeah, just elements of stories or passages in scriptures, even words light up that you've just never seen before. And then the whole story or letter or passage just starts to make more sense, or you just get so much more out of it. I've often had students even say after 9 months of the School of Biblical Studies, I've learned how to read well. And then we go to the next skill. The Word of God is for us, but it was not first written to us, but to ancient Israel, to faith communities 2,000 years ago in ancient Greece and in Israel and so on. So how would they have understood these words, these texts in all their different shapes and forms? And then you often see that, just a little bit of historical understanding or understanding of how does a letter work or a proverb, a law or a story just opens up so much more understanding of these texts. And then, when you get to a sense of this is God's word, then you can also start moving to that understanding of what is God's word for us now, which we would often call application. That's, I think, the ultimate goal of Bible reading. God speaks to us, works in our lives, works through our lives, through his word. But we get there only by those first two skills. You cannot obey if you haven't heard. You cannot know God if you haven't taken in a revelation, his revelation of who he is, and so on. And then all sorts of possibilities for application, for how the word works in our lives, changes our lives, how the word also can work in the world today, just start to open up, and that's great.
So do you then sit the whole day in the classroom and study and you get things explained, or do you have also different elements in the school? How can one picture that?
Many different elements. We worship and pray together. We do some Bible meditation, so also some devotional reading of scripture together, and then share with one another as well. there are, you know, quite some hours in the classroom, but the teaching is often very interactive, space for questions, for discussion, and then there's lots of time also to really dig in the scriptures yourself, using that approach that I described just earlier, this inductive approach. So that people really become discoverers of the Bible themselves, that they don't only hear what is this or that teacher saying about the scriptures. Now, what am I seeing? What am I learning? How is God speaking through the scriptures to me as well? And then, of course, always taking that back right to the group, to the community, which is a great sort of setting, a great context in which to learn. Yeah, and challenge and sharpen one another.
I believe you also have small groups, I think, in the school. And
well, not so much small groups, but there is some mentoring in the school. Exactly. And not formal small groups, but, you know, the time talking together, sitting down together is really important indeed. And you get a personal tutor who really will look at the work that you've made, will encourage you, will pray with you, will give you feedback on the work you've done, but also, during the process of your studies, it's someone you can always approach and ask help from. Yeah.
So warm invitation to join Bible for Life in April or one of the open weeks if 3 months is too long. I would like to ask you, what's your hope for this generation or for your generation, upcoming generations and the Bible? What would you like to see happening?
I think every time you would ask me that question, I would probably answer it slightly differently. But right now, today, I would hope that my generation, the next generations, all generations really would realize, would see, would taste the magnificence, the greatness, the depth, the wisdom, the love of God through the scriptures. And then also find it worthwhile to invest time, some money sometimes. You need a Bible. Some tools next to the Bible are very helpful. But to really invest, especially your time, your effort, to not just think, well, I open up a passage here and there, and then immediately I get out of it all everything I want. Oh, maybe I need to read it again tomorrow and the day after. Or maybe by investing a year or two or more, my life gets so filled with the wisdom, the riches of Scripture, that then it starts to, you know, flow, as it were. And just the living of the Word of God becomes so much more clear and apparent and appealing and inviting. Yeah, so seeing the riches that are sometimes below the surface, a treasure that you need to truly dig up, a treasure that you don't download, but that you need to mine for, sort of, yeah, and then invest.
Which came to my mind is, like, I remember a teacher of mine saying always, it takes God to love God. And if we have a desire to read the Bible, it sometimes also starts praying for that desire. Mm-hmm. And I just had this thought, oh, maybe it would be great for everyone listening, thinking, yes, I want to dig in more, but it's not so easy. Would you be okay praying with us at the end of this episode now, just for this passion for the Bible and also for the patience and the endurance to really dig in deep? That would be great.
Thank you.
Then we can, if you pray for us, and that's the end for today.
I'll gladly do that. Yes. Yeah, Father, we thank you. You're a God who doesn't remain hidden, but a God who reveals himself, who speaks. And yes, you're beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. That makes you God. But thank you that you reveal yourself in such a way that we do really know you. We can really know your character. We can know something, at least, of your ways. You don't remain the great unknown, the one who always will remain so far away, who stands aloof. Lord, we thank you also for your word, and that if your word works through your spirit, yeah, it just breathes and creates and multiplies life. And we desire that. Lord, we desire the life that sort of grows, that is created, and that gets shape also through your word, working through your spirit. And if we struggle, and I think many of us often do, if we struggle just opening up your word, understanding it when we open it, understanding it when someone is explaining or trying to explain it to us, Lord, I pray, would you really prevent us from giving up and just neglecting your word and sort of give up on it? Would you give us perseverance and make the desire grow? But would you make the desire grow also as we open up the scriptures? I pray we will be like the psalmist of Psalm 119, who just loves your word, loves the commandments, loves the instructions of your word, and prays, open my eyes that I may see the riches of your word. And we pray that together with him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.